talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy, Jill, and Jimmy.
It's the JJJ show.
Yeah, our Triple J show. Well, I don't know if any of you guys noticed out there, the wind got here.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and it got here. A couple things. We are under an extreme red flag warning. And one of the fire chiefs from Beckham County called me before the show and wants me to reiterate this to people. If your trash barrel was burnt yesterday, if you burnt some logs or tree piles a couple days ago, please go check them. Wet them down if you can. If you see some stuff smoldering, call your nearest local fire department and maybe they can help you out and come out and douse you. It's best to take care of it now and not later, because
yes,
it's a bad day. It's an extreme fire hazard. 6% humidity, I believe. So please, if you're pulling a trailer like me, I got my trailer hooked on, check your wheel bearings, check your chains. You hear me say this all the time, but it's super important. You drive down I-40 last, I think your dad even called me when that fire started by Potter Trailer Park and on Burt's there. A chain dragon started that.
Yeah, that'll get it.
Yeah, so you guys be careful out there today. Currently, it is 67 degrees at the May Ranch, 64 at Slapout, 65 degrees at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell, 71 at Hollis, 65 at Cheyenne, 73 at Hobart, 70 at Weatherford, and out here in the Texas Panhandle, let me get some temperatures. 72 degrees at Odell. Where's Odell at?
Down by Altus.
Is it, what side of the river is it on?
The north?
No.
The Red River? Are we talking about the Red River? Is that the river?
Odell's in Texas, though.
So. Oh, okay. It's in Texas.
It's on the south side of the river.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
You always got to give me crap about that one.
Yeah, I will. 68 at Childress, 67 at Wellington, 61 at Dozer, and 63 at Canadian, Texas. We got a big show lined up today with Mr. Taylor. And welcome to the show, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
So, anyway,
you guys.
We're gonna talk after this first break. We're going to talk with Jimmy and see what's happening out at the Taylor Ranch. And then we're going to talk some, maybe some checkoff stuff, huh?
You bet.
Yeah. So anyway, first of all, it is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour.
Yes, it is.
What about them?
I don't have a cap for that one.
I'm sorry. No. I'll get you one.
Okay, that's fair. The Wheeler General Store, located in Wheeler County, is the go-to store. From animal feed and farm ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at, ready for this, 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. And I have been there.
Yeah, it's just easier to say. They're on the east side of
Drive through Wheeler. Just drive straight through Wheeler. It's on the side of the road right there.
Somebody just sent a text into the text line, the Today in Ag text line, and there's a fire southwest of him. So that ain't good.
No.
It's not good. Okay, let's check out on some grain reports real quick and update. Let me update them. There we go. Corn for May is 657. Everything is in the green except for wheat. July corn 631, soybeans for May is 1504, July is 1472, soybean meal for May 46470, a short ton up nicely today. July is 4.59 even. Soybean oil for May is 55.39. July is 55.52. Hard red winter wheat is down almost 5 today. May is 8.66. July is 8.51. Oats for May, they're down about the same as wheat, 367 and 361 for July. Coming down here into the cotton, cotton is both May and June is around 83, almost 84 cents a pound. Live cattle for April, 167.95. June is 161.70. August is 160.87. And feeder cattle for April is up quite a bit today, 280. And May is 205.65. Lean hogs for April, 75.65. May is 84.20. June is 91.30. All right, before we take a break, I want to look at what happened at Woodward yesterday. And here's what we got. 2,759 head sold yesterday compared to 1,900 last week and over almost 3,200 a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers are $4 to $7 higher. Feeder heifers are steady to $4 higher. Steer and heifer calves mostly steady. Demand was moderate. A couple of prices here real quick. 3 to 4 weights was bringing up to 296. 4 to 5 weights, 253 was top ends. 5 to 6 weights, looks like 258 was top end. And then 6 weights were 224 was top. And 7 was 206 top. And 8 weights, $1.91.50, and nine weights were bringing up to $1.77, and that was on the steers. Heifers basically were steady. Looks like 3 to 4 weights was 228 was top end. 4 weights, 222 was top end. 5 weights, $1.99, and 6 weights was must have had some really good ones. 209 was what those was bringing. And 7 weights, top end on them was $1.88. We'll come back from this Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour break. We'll be talking with Mr. Jimmy Taylor. We'll find out what's going on in the ranch and see if Jill had anything exciting. Do you have anything happen this week at school that was exciting?
I'm not real sure. I only go an hour a day, so
there's not much.
There's not much happening when I'm there.
Anyway. What is, have you got the, how many days you got left?
Like,
you don't have a
40,
count?
40, roughly 30, 40, somewhere on there.
Somewhere.
I know it's 6 weeks. 6 weeks. So 6 times 5, 30 days.
There you go. Well,
there you
go. Got it. Cool. Are you excited?
Yes.
You're excited.
I got my cap and gown last week.
Oh.
And that kind of just made it real. Whenever I got the package, I was like, oh, this is happening. This is happening. Yeah.
This is really happening.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Anyway, so did you get all the rest of the bulls sold this week?
I think so.
Cool.
I think they're all sold.
Well, your daddy was happy out there when we went out to the set up at the expo.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy was walking around. I knew something was going on because he was looking happy.
Well, that's a sight to see.
Just heads up, the expo is tomorrow. The Southwest Farm and Home Expo is tomorrow. We just come from out there right before the show. Lots of cool things happening out there. It's going to be a good farm show this weekend.
Yep. I'm pretty sure you can go, if you want to go to the bull sale, you can go look at the bulls this evening.
Yep. Yeah, about what, 6 or something?
Yeah, 5, 6. They move them in all day, so
right.
I think they'll have them all out there by this evening.
If they don't blow away.
Yeah, let's hope this wind kind of dies down by tomorrow.
Well, there was a couple guys bringing some hay in there for the pens.
Yeah.
I was going to help them, then I thought my allergies would flare up.
Okay.
Yeah, so the wind hit right before we got there. So, anyway, there were some let's check out some of the before we go to 100% break because I'm running a little bit ahead of time here. Let's check out. We got in Mangum, Hobart, and Altus, 52-mile-an-hour gust up here in Elk City. Cheyenne's got 50-mile-an-hour gust. Elk City's 49-mile-an-hour, and it's just windy out there, guys. So everybody needs to be careful out there. Don't be welding on corner posts today.
No.
Not a good day for that. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
You screamed with delight when the rides began. You can still smell the funnel cake and the caramel apples. And you'd never seen so many lights in one place. Now your kids and grandkids can experience the same thing because the carnival's back on the west side of Elk City. Save big and keep riding with unlimited ride wristbands. Just $30 Thursday from 6 to 10 p.m. and Friday night 6 till 11. And it's Kids Day Saturday from noon till 4, only $25 for the kids. Wristbands are $30 Saturday evening 6 to 11 and again Sunday afternoon. You remember winning prizes as a kid. You remember the sounds of the games. You remember the taste of the fresh squeezed lemonade and cherry limeade. You remember laughing and not wanting it to end. Now, help your kids and grandkids make some great memories of their own. The carnival's back in town through Sunday, just south of the Fiveplex on the west side of Elk City.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Galleria Furniture understands that having the right appliances in your home makes your life easier and gives you the time to do the things that you love. The largest selection of KitchenAid, Whirlpool, Maytag, and Amana in all of Western Oklahoma is right here in Elk City. And with special ordering and delivery options available, there's no need to travel any farther. Prices to fit any budget, 0% interest financing, and no credit check options are available. Galleria Furniture of Elk City is here with the appliances you need today.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the JJ and J show.
Also known as the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour.
Yes, it is. And I got their hat on. Happening out here in the Texas Panhandle weather-wise right now at Lipscomb is 63 degrees. Humidity is 15, and it's dropping like a rock. The wind is out straight out of the west at 34 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 41. The peak wind gust today, you want to take a guess?
Like 55.
61.
Oh, I was close. Close. I was close.
And so far this month, they've had 0 rain. This ain't had any rain. Red flag minutes today so far is 19 minutes. Must have kicked in at noon, I'm guessing. Sub-freezing minutes today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature right now. Lipscomb, Texas, 56 degrees. Well, Mr. Jimmy Taylor, welcome to the Today in Ag Show. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jimmy.
Yeah, when we're exciting, the cattle business is just crazy right now, isn't it?
It is. A lot going on. You know, we're on the ranch. We're calving. We worked some today. It wasn't a very good day to work cattle.
No, I can see the red in your eyes.
Well, yeah, we finished up about 11, running them through, and I ran by the house and washed off enough dirt where you guys could recognize me and came on in. But they're still in the lot. I'll go haul them to pasture when we get through here.
So what were you doing, vaccinating them?
Vaccination with they're starting their breed back shot series. I use Express FP5 BL5, giving them the Banks vaccination, and then pulling DNA samples. So we'll send those off.
Oh, this is when
off.
You pulled them?
Yes. The heifers, this is the fall group.
Right.
They were calves starting about mid-August, finished up around the first week of October. And so they're about 7 months old on average.
Four to five weights probably. Or probably heavier.
No, they're over five.
Yeah, they're over five.
550-ish, I would guess.
Right.
So we weaned them back on New Year's Eve. And so they've been weaned a while. But this is kind of the last of their calf period in their life. And they'll move on out to a bigger pasture. And
become big girls.
Split, and some will join the cow herd, and some will go toward the butcher beef program.
Right. And then, so what... Do you set a time or a certain weight that you wean the calves? How do you go? What's your decision?
More
there?
Of a time thing. We calve twice a year, so we're 6 months apart on our two groups. We've got a fall group and a spring group.
Right.
So to make things fit, it's pretty structured as to when we do what. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, we'll have to do it, or, you know, we'll stack on top of each other with the fall ones.
In the spring.
Going out, spring ones coming in.
And so, that's a lot of work.
Yes.
Especially if they're overlapping.
Yes. Well, we don't have enough room for that.
Right.
We really utilize the traps that are close to the lots for things such as calving, AI-ing, weaning, those right. type things. When we're a lot of hands-on, when they're calves on the ground, they're close to the lots, when we preg check them, and know they're pregnant, they go to the far end of the place and then gradually work their way back over a period of months, and they'll end up about 30 days before they calf back coming in right after the other group has gone out.
Well, those big traps that you have are really nice.
They are.
They are very nice.
We utilize them quite a bit.
And, you know, people don't understand that those, I ain't putting that 5-acre trap out there, won't do no good. It comes in handy.
Ours are a little bigger than that.
But, well, yeah, and I was just using for example.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, no, we've got that calving trap right that we calve the heifers in right in front of the houses there.
Right.
And the cow trap is on down the road about a mile, but they're in an area. We run that in conjunction with a larger area, a field. It's actually got rye in it right now that we put the cows in. But that way we can go through them a couple of times a day and get the tagging done. So when they come into the lot, the calves are identified.
Right.
And we can see everything. If there's a set of twins or a problem, we can take care of that.
She's got something.
I got questions. Okay. I'm ready to fire away.
Fire.
Okay. Jimmy, you said that you were DNA testing earlier today.
Yes.
Will you explain to maybe some viewers that don't know why do we DNA test?
Okay. There's a couple of different reasons that you could. Some people use that as a culling tool. That DNA test, it's a commercial test. It's a little back of what the purebred test is, the HD50K test. But this will tell me in 17 different traits how that individual ranks against all animals tested. And there's been over 100,000 tested. Purebred test, I think it's over probably coming up on 1 million now.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
But there's a lot more in that database. But But it's a pretty accurate test, and it'll tell me in areas like marbling, ribeye, tenderness, the things to do with making a good steak. Tells me exactly where they are. So, like I said, some people use that as a culling tool. Mm-hmm. If the female doesn't meet their standards in certain areas, I've kind of got where I'm above minimums, so I use it more as a breeding tool. I'll identify anything that I think is a little deficient in an area, and I'll select an AI bull to put with them where I can make her better in the areas that she needs help in.
Okay. So now that we've talked about DNA testing, would you say that you could use DNA testing in whatever your goals are for your herd, whether you want to focus on carcass or whether you want you show livestock and you want to focus on looks? Would you say that you could use DNA testing to help further your herd?
Okay. Definitely, you could. Now, the phenotype is more of a visual thing. I can't see where the DNA testing would help there. It's more of an eye appeal thing. But I pay attention to that, too. I don't like cattle that hurt my eyes. I like to go out and look at my cattle.
I do, too.
So I select those that are good looking, measure up to my standards. But in all the other areas, and you've got to be careful. You could... you've heard of single trait selection.
Yes.
You don't want to get focused on one or two areas and forget all the others, or you'll be very good where you were concentrating
right.
on, but you'll be deficient in those other areas to the point that it might not make a keeper heifer anymore.
Right.
But I focus across those 17 traits. Now, when I first started out, figured out I couldn't do all of them at once. You know, that's just too many. I started on carcass because I was focusing on a eating experience and making a good steak for the consumers. But as I got those traits more in line, then I could keep branching out, and I pay attention to all 17 now. They've come up with a couple of different ones that I think as they go along and get more data, the accuracy will improve. Hair shedding is
yes.
one,
yes.
and the feet. The claw and the
yes.
angle.
That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. You know, it has to do with the longevity of that female.
Yes.
How long is she going to stay in your herd? You know,
yeah.
if she develops foot problems, you got to cull them.
We have bought a cow. This was several years ago, and we were going to flush her embryos out of her. Mm-hmm. And what we realized is she had bad feet, so she didn't last very long. And then when we put those embryos in heifers, then their babies had bad feet. We were like, these cows, they're just not lasting very long. And so I remember my dad, he was like, well, we got to focus on this trait. Like, we want our cattle to last longer. And so I remember mm-hmm. him having that conversation with me. This was probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was so cool. He showed me the chart for the first time of all the traits. And at the time, it was just a lot of numbers. I didn't really understand it, but he would go down one by one. And so he was like, for our bulls, we focus a lot on carcass because we're all about beef. And I was like, okay, so you focus on carcass and marbling. And he's like, yep. But once I got to where I wanted to be, then we kind of shifted to docility. And then for those of you that don't know what docility is, it's basically how calm your cattle are. And so one of the things that we take pride in our cattle is how calm they are. We want to be able to walk up to our bulls and almost basically just touch them, and they don't just take off running or jump around.
Or run over you.
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
And I would guess most of the people that buy bulls from you, that's a trait that's good for them, especially if
right.
you get a little older like I am. I've lost a step or two over the years, and I don't want to run from one anymore.
No, I don't. I'm 18, and I don't want to run from one, so it's something that we really focus on.
Well, quit tagging them with the calves when the cows are close.
Oh.
So do you have, you both are talking about that, calmness of cattle. Do you have a lot of issues? I mean, a mom is going to protect her baby no matter what. Do you have a lot of issues tagging?
Honestly, no. The trick is to keep the calf between you and the mama. Because
right.
if that calf is between you and the mama, she's not going to go through her
right.
calf to get to you. Now, if you get between the calf and the mama,
things start happening.
That's when it goes downhill. So... I mean, I would say it's a mother's instinct. They like to protect their calves, but they also understand when you're trying to help them.
Right. Yeah.
And I agree with Jill. Keep that calf. If I think one is, and we have gotten rid of any of those that would just charge you. But if there's one that is very protective of her calf, I'll catch that calf, and I won't do anything for about 5 seconds. If she's going to come, it's usually in that first five seconds. And I hold it between, just like Jill said, hold it between us. And if she's not coming, then it's going to be okay. Now, one thing I will do when I'm tagging, I don't face her. I flip around where the calf's rear end is toward her.
Right.
And she can see more of the calf like that.
Right.
The calf kind of disappears if I'm facing her.
Right.
But if that rear end's toward her, she can see it. And it seems like she's calmer like that. I don't know if you've experienced that.
Yes. Usually if they can fully see the calf, they don't freak out as much, usually. And like you said, if we have a crazy one who's just like out of control, there's the cell barn. She's on the next trailer load.
She's on the next flight out.
and Tracy's in charge of that list, so she doesn't take much time. If it shows a little bit of all at all, she's sending gone. It all. It's gone. Going to the cell barn.
Well, I remember back in the '80s when I worked for K&D Farm and Ranch over at Foss. Dub had just got in 25 registered Brangus heifers, and I mean, you could see the look in their eyes. This was in the 80s before calmness was involved. Anyway, I jumped off and he said, grab that calf and let's tag it. So I jumped in there, young guy, jumped in there and grabbed that calf. I get hold of its mouth in time and he bellered. Not only did mama come, but the rest of them come, and I end up covering up with that calf. They didn't care if that calf was there or not. It didn't matter. And I was like, we ain't tagging these like this. We're just going to sort them in the lot. No more am I going to get these Brangus, because, man, they got a mean streak in them. Some, not all of them, but these.
That wasn't a good spot.
Wasn't a bad spot. I was trying to crawl under the pickup with a calf to get away from these crazy things. But anyway, it's fun. Well, let's take a Wheeler General store break. And when we come back, Jimbo, let's talk about what's happening in the beef world in the United States and in the world, if you want to.
You bet.
We got to ask him. You need to ask him about his stock car racing event.
Okay.
So we'll be right back after this, and we'll have your Northwest Oklahoma weather for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
This is a Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 27th. 1,117 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 318, brought 276. 5 at 585, brought 222. 7 at 628, brought 221. 14 at 685, brought 201. 35 at 773, brought 190. 21 at 884, brought 176.50. 18 at 965, brought 166. 3 head of heifers at 380, brought 216. 9 at 595, brought 206. 11 at 681, brought 180.50. 4 at 704, brought 179. 10 at 830, brought 171. 11 at 860, brought 167. 20 at 1,000, brought 147.50. Butcher cows were 50 to 109. Butcher bulls brought 89 to 129. Bred cows were 1035 to 1125. Pairs brought 1375 to 1700. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
And ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Today in Ag show. It is the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour. Is there any weather up in northwestern Oklahoma besides
Yes, I was getting there.
No, I was asking you.
Yes, I picked Freedom, Oklahoma today, so way up there north. It is 69 degrees in Freedom. The humidity is 13%, so hardly any at all. The wind is blowing out of the west at 37 miles an hour, and wind gusts are going to peak at 48 miles an hour today. And my favorite part of the weather, your sun is going to set at 7:57 p.m. We do have a few warnings out there. There's a fire weather warning until 10 p.m. tonight, so please be careful about what you're doing. If you've burned anything the last few days, make sure that you're putting water on it and that wind isn't catching it and just setting off the entire of Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, if you think there's something out there smoldering, man, call your fire department.
Yes, please do. And then there's a wind advisory until 8 p.m. tonight. So like I said earlier this week, you got to hold on to your hat for a few more hours. Today, you can expect a high of 70 degrees. Winds are going to get up to 48 miles an hour. Tonight, there is a low of 36 degrees. Winds are going to shift from the west to the northwest at about 18 miles an hour. Tomorrow, it's going to be sunny with a high of 66 degrees. Winds are going to shift from the northwest to the southwest, getting up to 12 miles an hour. So it's not going to be as windy tomorrow. That's a good sight to see. Sunday, it's going to be 81 degrees. It's finally feeling like spring around here for once.
Yep.
And then Monday, 85 degrees. So don't be surprised if it doesn't get up to like 90 that day.
Get the sunblock out.
Yeah. And then Tuesday, it's going to be 78 degrees. So good weather for the next few days. Just get through today. Don't blow away.
Well, joining Jill and I on the show today is Mr. Jimmy Taylor. Him and his beautiful wife, Tracy, they own the Taylor Ranch out here in Roger Mills County. Jimbo, you haven't been in here since you got the big promotion. So tell everybody what you are now.
I'm assuming you mean with Cattlemen's Beef Board?
Yes, sir.
I'm the new chairman as of the first part of February, and very very honored and humbled to have received the vote from my peers to become chair.
Yeah, it's good. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I've been bragging on you and Monty and everybody else in Western Oklahoma, especially Roger Mills County. You guys got it going on. He's the chairman of that, and Monty's the big dog over here, and then we got all this other stuff going. So it's good for the cattlemen in Oklahoma, I can tell you that. Couldn't pick a couple better guys to be in those positions. So back in February, actually the Tucker family was there too. You guys visited Florida.
You bet.
How was that?
It was good, Jimmy. It was quite an honor to represent the over 800,000 beef producers from across America at the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300.
Right.
That race is at Daytona, and it's held the day before the Daytona 500. So we were there all weekend. They actually had a truck race on Friday.
Right.
Our race was on Saturday, and the Daytona 500 was on Sunday. So we had a beef booth set up for all three of those days and had a lot of traffic coming in there. NASCAR fans traditionally love beef.
Oh, yeah. I raised my hand.
But they're from the city, so they might not understand what all goes into it. So we, at our beef booth, we were educating about different cuts of beef, talking to them about beef, and even had a little roping dummy over there and taught some of those city folks how to rope a little bit. I know Monty was over there and his two boys, Mason and Reed, were giving some roping lessons.
That Reed's something, isn't he?
He is.
he's that character.
He's engaged.
Yeah, he's engaged. He's a little more vocal than his big brother. So, anyway, but
sounds like my brother.
Huh?
Sounds like my brother.
Is he more vocal than you?
Yes.
Really?
Don't get me wrong. I'm an extrovert, but he's like a whole nother level.
So, but they, I caught video clips of what was going on, and Tuckers were putting stuff on the deal, and. You know, it is. It's. We've talked about this a couple of different shows since we started the Day in Ag, because not just Daytona, but NASCAR fans in general, they go to camp, they love their RVs, and they love. You're going to cook out 90% of the time.
And Jimmy, we got to get on golf courts and go carts and go interact with those people, and we were putting grilling beef signs in their little yards there. Estimated that there were like 80,000 people in the infield,
right?
And around, you know, they ran out of room there, and they were in the surrounding areas. That track down there is 2.5 miles long,
right?
So there's a lot of area in that middle of the field.
Yeah, it's not a football field, it's a big place.
But they love their beef in there, and they loved interacting with the producers. You know, we could have executives go down and do that, but the crowd seems to want to talk to producers.
Right.
And so we had a handful of those down there. This was one of our promotional efforts. Our job with the Cattlemen's Beef Board is to create beef demand, and we do that through promotion, research, and education. And this was one of our promotional efforts.
What else you guys got going on this year?
Quite a bit. We're into our fiscal year 2023 already.
Okay.
We have some programs that we do every year. We just add on. One initiative, and this is more on the education side, is the Northeast Beef Promotion Initiative. And we take money from high cattle states. Most people, I think, know that you pay a dollar a head for every animal that's sold, is how those checkoff dollars come in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are states that have higher cattle populations, and there are states with less cattle and more people. For instance, that Northeast region up there, there's 15 people for every cow. So a state like Nebraska, there's 4 cows for every person. So we'll take those dollars and from the high cattle states where people are a little more educated about what we do, what beef is all about, and we'll take them up there where all those people are, and we'll educate consumers on beef. We'll educate nutritionists, physicians on the nutritional value of beef, just all across the board. So that's one thing that's continual. One of my favorite ones, and I think one of the most important ones is, and when I say one, it's projects that we do. And those checkoff dollars are put to different projects. Every year we'll have a meeting and decide which projects we want to fund, which ones not, and so on. But I think one of the more important ones is the issues management team that we have in place. And that team monitors media, such as you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if any misinformation comes out about beef, they're right on top of it. And they can get the correct message out there about beef, correct that before that misinformation grows legs. Also, if we had an outbreak of BSE, say, an animal disease problem, we can get out there before that thing gets out of hand, and tell the accurate information about what's going on, where it is. You know, it's not all over the place. That American beef is still safe.
Right. Yeah, because people quit buying beef at the grocery store or buying from you, buying from me beef from everybody, Tucker's and stuff. It'll hurt the pocketbook. Mm-hmm. So,
another project that we have ongoing every year are our beef export markets. Right. We do that through one of our contractors, United States Meat Export Federation.
Yep.
And that's an ongoing project, and we keep building on work they've done. I don't know if you realize, but 15.2% of our production here in the United States is exported. And that organization has 19 offices around the world, work in approximately 80 different countries. And we set an all-time record last year.
Right. Both I know, it was great.
In volume and value. Value, we were at $11.68 billion, and that's billion with a B.
Right.
And that was 10% more than the year before, year over year. In volume, we were at 1.47 million metric tons, and that was 2% above the last year. So last year was a really good year. We almost averaged $1 billion a month.
That's pretty good. So what is the Federation? What do they do? What's their main job? I mean, you guys are working with them, but what's their main job?
Their job is market development and market access around the world. And we have some mature markets that they work quite a bit in. We had three countries last year go over $2 billion apiece. And that's South Korea became our number one market at $2.7 billion. China, Hong Kong, that's a combined market now.
Right.
They were in second place in value at $2.55 billion. And then Japan was our third place market. But then one of the more important things that they do is they develop countries that don't necessarily eat American beef now. One comes to mind is South Africa. That's a relatively new market, but that continent has over 1 billion people on it.
Yeah,
and a young demographic. So in years to come, that market will become more and more important to the United States.
Let's take a Wheeler General Store last break. And when we come back, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And then I think she's been chomping over there. She might have a question for you, Jimmy.
All right.
Jimmy Taylor with the Taylor Ranch is here with us today with Jill and I. And when we get back, we'll have more to talk about, cattle mainly.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring. Every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer, they're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
I thought learning a language would be too much work, but Babbel makes learning fun. J'aime Babette.
Babbel's lessons only take 10 or 15 minutes, and soon you turn and realize, hey, I'm starting to speak another language. How'd that happen?
Babbel isn't robots talking. You learn words and phrases from real native speakers. I was ready for real-life conversations in just a few weeks. So easy.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 24th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,430 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 253, brought 272. 9 at 344, brought 270. 3 at 428, brought 238. 7 at 560, brought 220. 4 at 564, brought 212. 16 at 586, brought 211. 31 at 873, brought 191. 4 head of heifers at 338, brought 218. 8 at 439, brought 214. 9 at 466, brought 208. 11 at 535, brought 198. 8 at 546 brought 190. 4 at 565 brought 192. 5 at 720 brought 176. Butcher cows were 20 to 114.50. Butcher bulls brought 39 to 130. Bred cows were 875 to 1650. Pairs brought 985 to 3600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. And another great day to all you stewards of the land.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You think I'm wound up? Did you just hear Drew?
Yeah, that was... I don't know why, but his advertisement is so loud
in my
headphones.
He knows how to edit it. So anyway.
Well, it's a lot.
Welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. Miss Jill has your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
I do, and I picked Grand Field, Oklahoma. I don't think I've picked them yet. No, out of the 2 months I've been here, I don't think I've picked them. So, In Grand Field, it is 74 degrees, and it feels like 74 degrees. Humidity is 19% today. Wind is out of the west at 30 miles an hour. Wind gusts are going to peak at 37 miles an hour today, and your sun is going to set at 7:54 p.m. There are warnings, like I said earlier. There's a fire weather warning until 10 p.m., so don't light anything on fire or put something out if you had something on fire yesterday
exactly.
Or the day before that. And there's a wind advisory until 8 p.m. tonight, so be advised about that. Today, you can expect a high of 76 degrees, and the dust is going to blow. It's literally what it says. So tonight, there's going to be a low of 43 degrees. It's going to be mostly clear. Winds are going to shift from the west to the northwest at 16 miles an hour. Tomorrow, you can expect a high of 69 degrees. It's going to be mostly sunny, and winds are only going to get up to 10 miles an hour. Sunday, there's actually a 40% chance of rain showers. So everybody start praying, because we need rain. And you can expect a high of 78 degrees on Sunday. Monday, it's going to be 89. Man, almost 90 degrees. And Tuesday, it's going to be 85 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's warmer down there along the
river. It is warmer.
Down there along the river.
I'm going to move down there.
Couple things off the Jimmy's Bull and Female Sale Calendar real quick. The C&G Company Bull and Female Production Sale is going to be tomorrow at 12:30. And it's at Seminole, and they're selling 161 head, 40 yearling registered Angus bulls, 15 18-month-old registered Angus bulls, 5 18-month-old commercial Angus bulls, 8 2-year-old Charley bulls, and 3 2-year-old Sim Angus bulls. And then also the Reds in the Heartland bull sales tomorrow, and I think that's at OKC West. And it's been happening, and we got more sales coming up next week. One of them that's new in the new Penny News is the Oklahoma Sooner Shorthorn Sale. It didn't say the Oklahoma Cowboy Shorthorn. It said Sooner.
The shirt says it all.
You're outnumbered in here today. I can tell you that much.
I got my Ferguson College of Agriculture sweatshirt on today.
All right. Mr. Jimmy Taylor, we're going to finish up the show with you. Him and his wife run the Taylor Ranch out here in Roger Mills County. And we were talking about exports and stuff before we went to the break. And Jill, I know you have a question for Jimmy, don't you?
Yes, we actually had a question text in. So why is the export market so important to the total value of our cattle?
So I'll answer it short term and long term. First thing that comes to mind is for every fed head last year, the export markets increased the value of that fed head $460. So, you know, a cow-calf guy might say, well, you know, I didn't see $460. The further you go up the chain, if you retain ownership or go to stockers or retain ownership, the more that you're going to see. But total from the start to when that animal sold, $460 increase in value. Another way to look at that is if those export markets weren't there, that fed animal would be worth $460 less. And that would trickle down too to the cow-calf producers. One that's a little more into the future, you notice some states in other industries and agriculture are coming up with their own rules and regulations. As our states become more fragmented like that, and it becomes more difficult to sell to a state like California that's putting a lot of rules and regulations on, we'll need somewhere else to go with our beef. The third one, 96% of the world's population lives outside the United States. If you break it down to middle class, that's 93% of the world's middle class population lives outside the United States. You know, we need to be in that market. That's our market here in the United States is mature. Our gains are not going to be great. We can still make gains, but our potential to gain fast is much greater once we have a worldwide view, worldwide marketing view. Back to that $460. You know, we talked about there were three countries that we exported over $2 billion apiece last year. Total, we set the record at $11.68 billion. Over $1 billion of that was beef variety meats. Those are things that don't sell very well here in the United States. Like, when's the last time you had liver for dinner?
Never, actually. I've never had liver.
Tripe?
Nope.
No. Tongue?
Absolutely not.
See, those things here would mostly have a rendering value of about 30 cents a pound, but they're delicacies in certain countries around the world. So we can create value and sell more of that animal by selling these beef variety meats to other countries that think they're really good. For instance, tongue here, you know, you wouldn't touch it. You said, you know, 30 cents a pound here. It's worth $11 a pound in Japan.
Oh, wow.
It's a delicacy. In Mexico, it's worth quite a bit. Liver, our number one destination for liver is Egypt. They've even found Peru had found that their children were becoming iron deficient, and they incorporated beef liver into diets down there and corrected that to a certain extent.
That's pretty awesome.
So that fourth reason would be that we move part of the animal that we couldn't move here and get a premium for it. So that's part of that value added, that $460 that we were talking about a while ago. That's part of where that comes from.
Wow. I did not know that. I just learned something new today. That's pretty cool.
I did not know that. See, you and I, though, we're on the same page. We're not going to eat liver. We're just going to go up here to United and get some iron deficiency pills.
You're still not going to liver.
No, don't get me wrong. I've had it, okay? My mom was a big liver and onions person. But as soon as I moved out the house, it came to a stop. So I just couldn't handle it. Now, I've ate tongue. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's better than liver.
Okay.
So, anyway, there's well, one more question for you.
You bet.
Same person. Should we just keep all of our beef in the United States?
Well, no, I think we just covered
there
that.
There you go.
Those
I just
four,
want him to know we read both questions.
Those four reasons that we just talked about.
Right.
I think it creates more value for each animal if we export. And it creates more marketing opportunities to increase that value.
Right. And the
not at all.
And then here in the United States, our processing beef is so much cleaner and better than probably anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. It's got to be, because we have people that actually monitor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something might slip through there, but anyway, it's all good. I think we're lucky to be cattlemen, because she's a cattle lady right here. She has her own cattle. I think we're just lucky to be where we are. Mm-hmm.
And, Jimmy, I might add, if anybody has checkoff questions, they can go on the website, drivingdemandforbeef.com.
Yep.
And there's anything you want to know about where those checkoff dollars go. It goes into detail about all the projects. It's got the annual report in there, all those type of things.
Jimmy, it's always a pleasure for you to be on the show. Jill, thanks for coming in today.
Always. God bless.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5. Kate.
Arraignment day for a former president. Lisa Brady, Fox News. Donald Trump is expected to face a judge Tuesday in New York over a grand jury indictment that remains sealed for now. President Biden.